Hello, friends. This is Ted Marr of the Out of This World radio program, the second hour. I'm actually in the Dominican Republic today at the world, the second annual World Conference on Peace and Light. It's an amazing place. I'm meeting so many interesting people, and I want to thank Skype too for this connection. I'm on Skype now, and the signal is being transmitted to the station there in Bellevue on 11:50 a.m. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and to make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this Earth a much better place. One thing I wanted to tell you, there's some wonderful events coming up that'll be coming up in the next couple of weeks. The first thing is that on August 21st, just at the Crystal Voyage bookstore in Tacoma, Carolyn White will be giving a presentation on auras and chakras and vibrational energy. That's day after tomorrow, actually. Today's the 19th. Then Winston Strout, a really famous guy who has a lot of alternative legal theories, will be giving a presentation for the weekend at the James Gillian's Ranch in Southwest Washington. One of the fun things about James going down to James' ranch is that I always see UFOs there, and they're always sometimes you'll see them. You'll see in Mount Adams, in the south side of Mount Adams, you'll see the mountain open up, and this UFO will fly out and will fly back in, and it's really out of this world. One of the things too about his ranch is that the dimensional levels there, it's not exactly the third dimension there. It's much higher, to the fourth or the fifth. And so when you go there and spend some days, when you leave, my energy level and my frequency is always elevated, and it's always a pleasure to go there. I know I'll be having a Winston Strout on my program in the next week or two, but I want to tell you all that. If you Google James Gillian's UFO Ranch or Winston Strout, you'll find the information for his upcoming seminar there. Also, friend of mine, Dr. Effie Chow, will be having a world conference on Qigong with some really famous healers from China and across the world. Their specialty will be Qigong, and it'll be from September 2nd to the 5th, right in San Francisco. If you just Google Dr. Effie Chow's name, Chow, the East-West Center on Topaz Street in San Francisco, you'll find all the information there. She's a wonderful lady, and she actually gave me a healing yesterday morning in Montreal, Canada, when I was on my way down here to the Dominican Republic. On the way to the airport, I interviewed her, and I'll be playing that interview probably next week. But Dr. Chow gave me a wonderful healing for my... It was an energy healing, that's what Qigong is, for my ears. I've had tinnitus in my ears, especially my right ear, since February 1978. And she was able to reduce the ringing by 60-70% in my right ear. And it was the first time that I had heard something close to silence in 38 years. And tears were just streaming down my face when she did it and helped me. But she really knows her stuff. She's an amazing lady, and she'll be coming actually on my program a week from today, so please stay tuned to that. In early September next month, I'm also considering taking a small group of people to Telos, the ancient Marian city, 12,000 or more years old, underneath Mount Shasta. If you're interested, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. So, anyway, thank you. In September 17th, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., I'm sponsoring a Galactic Awareness Fair at the Washington RV and Events Center at 9101 Stilton Road in Olympia, Washington. I will be there along with some really wonderful psychics, mediums, and healers, including Teresa Carroll, Carol and Jerry White, and many others. Admission is free, and I hope you can come. From October 18th to November 5th, I'm sponsoring a West Coast tour by Michiko Hayashi of the Moto Peace Project in Tokyo, from San Francisco to Vancouver, Canada, on messages from Watt and the wonderful work of Dr. Masaru Emoto. If you are in Vancouver, for example, on November 4th, Michiko will be giving a presentation from 7 p.m. on the messages from water at the Listel Hotel at 10:30 Robeson Street in downtown Vancouver. The Listel is one of the nicest hotels in Vancouver. In addition to that, she'll be going to the Crystal Voyage Bookstore during, I believe, on November 3rd in the evening, from 7 to 9 p.m. She'll also be at the Triad Theater on the morning of the November 4th, and she'll also be giving a presentations in Petaluma, California, as well on October, I believe it's the October 20th in the evening from 7 to 9 p.m. I will also be giving presentations as well on messages from Albert Einstein and other great spirits during that time. And if you can come or are interested in any of these events, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com or call me at 509-750-9793. With that, what I'd like to do is introduce my wonderful doctor named Dr. Rajiv Pardi. He's a medical doctor who had a near-death experience back about 10, 12 years ago. And he's written a new book. It's actually coming out on August 23rd. And the book itself is about death and dying. It's about his near-death experience. It's a little bit like Dr. Eben Alexander, who was on my show about a month or two ago. And the book is called Dying to Wake Up, A Doctor's Voyage into the Afterlife, and the Wisdom He Brought Back on August 23rd. The book will be published on August 23rd, 2016. It's a true story of Dr. Rajiv Pardi's astounding near-death experience, his subsequent transformation, and the wisdom that he brought back from the afterlife. A little bit of background on the book, as a chief anesthesiologist at the Bakersfield Heart Hospital in Bakersfield, California, he was responsible for putting his patients to sleep while undergoing complicated and delicate heart surgeries. And although he was renowned in his field and skilled in his profession, he had lost his compassion for his patients, coming to view them as profit centers for wealth and prestige. He said that showy cars and a mansion in the bullseye of a prestigious neighborhood had become his only and one and only religion, materialism. And then on Christmas Day 2010, Dr. Pardi underwent an emergency surgery for a life-threatening situation. While under the knife, he had a near-death experience that changed his mind, his life completely. Watching his body from above the operating table, Dr. Pardi was completely lucid as his untethered consciousness traveled far away from the operating theater to his mother's home in India, the brink of hell, a reunion with his deceased father, an eye-opening review of several past lives, and finally an encounter with two powerful angels that led him to the being of life. His book, again, is called Dying to Wake Up. It's being released on August 23rd, and I urge you all to get a copy of it. Now, with that, what I'd like to do is to go on to Dr. Rajiv Pardi's interview. This interview was taken a couple days ago in Montreal, Canada, where both he and I were at a wonderful conference sponsored by the IIIHS Fellowship in Montreal. So, Harmony, if you could please play that interview now, and then I'll come back after it's played. Thank you so much, Harmony.
Hello, friends. I'm here with Dr. Rajiv Pardi in a beautiful city of Montreal at the IIIHS Spiritual Conference. And Dr. Pardi, welcome to Out of This World Radio. So good to have you here today.
It's my honor to be here. It's a beautiful city, beautiful weather, and beautiful company.
Well, thanks. Thanks. Yours too. Yours too. I have to ask you, how did you ever get interested in near-death experiences in the afterlife?
Oh, I did not get interested in near-death experiences and afterlife until I had my experience myself. Actually, I'm a cardiac anesthesiologist. I specialize in giving anesthesia for heart surgeries, like valve replacement, aortic aneurysms, etc. And a few years back, before my experience, we did a patient who needed replacement of his aortic root, you know, the main artery which comes off the heart. And for that, we had to freeze the patient literally. No blood going through the brain, heart, or any organ for up to 45 minutes. And that patient, when he woke up next day, he was describing me out-of-body experience, and my first reaction was that there was no blood going through his brain, so there was maybe some brain damage and he is hallucinating, so I gave him an antipsychotic medicine. That was it, my near-death experience, before my experience myself. When I had my experience, then I started studying about near-death experience and life after life.
Well, that's incredible. That's incredible. I know that you gave a wonderful presentation as part of the panel discussion, a presentation earlier here in the conference about life after life. I'd love it if you could share some of those insights with my many listeners around the world.
Yeah, life after life is because in my own experience, I realized seven truths. Like the first truth I realized when I had an out-of-body experience, that consciousness can exist outside the body. The second truth I realized is when I met my father who had died about 30 years ago and he came to my rescue in the hellish realm, that life survives after apparent death. And then I also had a review of my past lives. And then I met angels. So they are angelic beings who are there to help us. And then the angelic beings gave me knowledge that there are different levels of consciousness. You know, as we, like, modern, you know, talk about is evolution is not necessarily just physical, but it is evolution of consciousness. And that's, the main purpose of life is to elevate a level of consciousness. And then there is all-pervading supreme love. And we are all connected to each other. By helping you, I'm helping myself.
Well, those are very beautiful and profound words. You mentioned past lives. I'd be fascinated to know, what lives did you have?
Yeah. During my near-death experience, I experienced two past lives. And one of the past lives was that I was a cruel prince in medieval times. And I was whipping poor farmers along with my soldiers with a whip. I can see them right now in front of my eyes wearing brown tattered clothes. The most amazing thing is that I asked forgiveness from them. And I used to have pain in my right wrist. And as an anesthesiologist, which is a lot of technical work, at times I was not able to work. I had one time even taken 6 months off. And after the farmers forgave me, my pain went away. Like yesterday when we were in the panel, the Dr. Chu was mentioning, and I discussed this with Dr. Moody also, in other realm, there is no past, present, and future. They're almost happening at the same time. So we can go back and correct our mistakes.
Well, that's fascinating, just fascinating. You know, as a psychic, I sometimes give counseling and give readings to people who have physical or spiritual problems in this lifetime, but often it's from a past life or previous generations. And so you're saying for people like that, they should go back in time in their mind and forgive whoever they harmed and try to rectify the damage they did in a previous life so they can have a better life now.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, like, I'm big on forgiveness. Like, one of the things I tell people is, if they ask me, what is your message, if you had to give two messages or short messages, I get a lot of interviews. My message is, if you love somebody, don't be afraid to admit it. And then if you have, you're holding a grudge from somebody harmed you, don't be afraid to forgive them. Because forgiveness is not for them. It is forgiveness is for your sake, to let go of that charge, mm-hmm. that baggage, that emotions. Mm-hmm. So my thing is, my actual full formula is forgive, love, and heal. And that forgiveness and loving starts with your own self.
Beautiful. That is so beautiful. Now, you have a new book out that's coming out. Could you tell my many listeners about that, please?
Yeah, my new book is Dying to Wake Up. As I mentioned, I was an anesthesiologist before, so often close my speeches by saying, I used to put people to sleep, but now I wake them up. So my website for the book is dyingtowakeup.com, and it is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other independent stores.
Wonderful, wonderful. Tell me, what other stories can you tell my many listeners about near-death experiences?
You know, like, it's not just me. It's happening very often nowadays, near-death experiences. because the medical technology has advanced, even when the heart is flatlined, I have that experience myself. Mm-hmm. I am able to bring people back with different resuscitative methods like using epinephrine, pumping the heart, etc. Mm-hmm. I've helped open the chest in the recovery room and pump the heart with hand, and patient woke up.
Amazing. When he woke up, did he say, "Gee whiz, you've got my chest open and you're pumping my heart"?
Yeah. He had a very strange look. Yeah, you know, that happens. That's why near-death experiences have become common, because the resuscitative medicine has advanced a lot. Mm-hmm. And my main thing is live life fully. Like yesterday, somebody asked a very beautiful question in the panel: how do I prepare for my death? And what came to me was to live this life fully in service to others. That's how you prepare for your death.
Beautiful. That's absolutely beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. The earth here is like a school, isn't it, Dr. Pardee? We're all learning lessons.
Yeah, it is a school. We are, as I said, is evolution of consciousness. And that's the new paradigm, that we all are connected to each other. And, you know, that's why I love the Michael Jackson's song, "Heal the World, One World," you know. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. If we continue to make good choices in making the planet a better place, what kind of world do you think we'll have in 10 or 20 years?
If we continue to make better choices, the world will be about not me or you, me versus you. It will be for us. Mm-hmm. The pie gets bigger. Like we both prosper. Actually, you know what's coming to my mind? My mother, 2 days ago, sent me, you know, she's 85, but she learned to use smartphone now. She sent me a thing, you know, a wisdom thing on WhatsApp, and it said, even illness, when you replace I with we, becomes wellness.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. That's amazing. Kind of like yin and yang.
Yeah.
Dark and white and black,
yeah.
Male, female, things flip-flop very simply, very easily.
So if you replace I with we, illness becomes wellness. We all are in together.
Mm-hmm. Many times I get questions from my many listeners about, well, how can I make the world a better place? And if someone came to you now, Dr. Pardee, what would you tell them?
You know what is coming to my mind is what Gandhi said: be the change you want others to be. It starts with your own self. Mm-hmm. You know, as I talk about the three things: meditation, prayer, and service. Mm-hmm. Service, I use the word seva, which is a Sanskrit word and much deeper. And this is service with gratitude. Like, if I'm a doctor, I shouldn't have a higher status or position and look down on the patient, or rather approach the patient that he has given me or she has given me the opportunity to serve them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you have that attitude, the world will change, especially the politicians. Mm-hmm. And lawyers. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I used to be a lawyer many years ago, and I know exactly. But don't hold it against me. I'm a psychic now.
You're a recovered lawyer.
You could say that, yes.
Yeah.
But I think this is a time of truth, too. And I think the entire planet is actually ascending into the higher dimensions. And as we ascend into the higher dimensions, things that will become true will become truer. And those that are false will fall by the wayside.
I agree with you. And, you know, we have, you know, somebody listening to this may say, how are you saying this, that we're becoming a better place? There's so much violence outside. So many people are dying. But I believe that is a part of the whole birthing process. Mm-hmm. Like in a natural birth, there is a lot of pain, there is a lot of blood, you know, there is. And after that, the birth is finished, and you have a beautiful, smiling baby. Mm-hmm. So what we are going through right now, I believe, is a birthing process.
Mm. Boy, that makes really a lot of sense. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
So one of the things I've studied a lot of Nostradamus, And I've actually been in touch with him now for the last couple of years on the other side. And he says in the future that things that psychics now do, for example, telepathic communication or remote viewing, that'll become commonplace in the coming decades to come as people's vibrations raise up higher.
I have no doubt about that, because from my near-death experience, all the communication was telepathic. There was no real spoken words. They were just in my consciousness. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened. And even transportation was, at times I flew at this, at the times it was, I'm here and then I'm there. Mm-hmm. It was like Star Wars, you know, beam me, Scotty.
Sure. Wow, amazing. Have you been able to contact your dad since that experience you had some years ago?
Yeah, I have been able to contact my dad. You know, I met him in my near-death experience. But since then, he comes in my dreams and he guides me. And if I have to go for an interview or something which is really important for me, I wear his shirt. So that his blessings are with me, and I've never failed an interview if I'm wearing my dad's shirt.
Oh, that's good. Are you wearing your dad's shirt today?
No, not right now.
Well, you're doing fine, by the way. Yeah. This is great. This is great. Tell me, I want to ask you, other members of your family, do you think they're part of the same soul group that you've evolved with through in previous lives?
I believe that we do go as soul groups. I do believe that. Mm-hmm. Like, especially coming from Indian culture, they say husband and wife have actually seven lives together. You know, as couple, you know, male and female may switch, but at least there are seven lives.
Fascinating. That's like the seven-year cycle, 7 days of the week.
Yeah.
And now seven lifetimes together.
Yeah, exactly.
Fascinating. That's just fascinating. Tell me more about that. That's fascinating.
Yeah, you know, like, you know, past lives do have effect in our present life. Mm-hmm. Like, I knew about a person. He was very successful in generating money, but he could not keep any money. And we did a past life regression, and it came out that he was a monk in previous life, and he had taken a vow of poverty. And that's where the money would slip away. And after he broke the vow of poverty, he was able to keep the money.
Oh, that's fascinating.
So,
just fascinating.
You know, if something is not going right in your life, or there's a trauma, what I believe, there are mainly four causes which, when it could have happened. It could have happened in your adult life, mm-hmm. or it could happen in your childhood, your inner child, mm-hmm. or it can have happened in your past life, or it could have even happened in generational, which is known as family constellations. Like if your grandfather suffered during Holocaust, you may be showing the symptoms of past life, past PTSD.
Right. Well, that's fascinating. You know, in ancient Egypt, 5,000 years ago, the doctors there felt that every disease was a dis-ease. They split the word into two infinitives because they always thought there was a spiritual component to every physical condition.
Exactly. That's what the Indian way of healing, which is known as Ayurveda, is a 5,000-year-old philosophy, which is actually, in other words, a lifestyle management. It's not just give some pills and take these pills and you'll be okay. Right. It's about every aspect of life. Mm-hmm. And then you can lead a very balanced life. Like it says, you know, it divides the people in two categories. One are the monastics and one are the householders. Mm-hmm. For householders, it is not just necessary, it is their duty to make money, to be successful, so they can serve the other half, who they to promote dharma. So we need four things: artha, kama, moksha, dharma. Mm-hmm. Artha means money, mm-hmm. have a good profession. Kama literally means sex, but it, in the broader term, is to have pleasure, have fun in life. Moksha is salvation. Dharma is to stand for righteousness and the rules and laws of the society. So that way, for me, you, and most of the people who are on the householder path, these four things are which gives a balanced life.
Fascinating. Thank you so much for sharing that. You know, India as a culture has so much profound spiritual wisdom.
Yeah. It is one of the oldest, one of the oldest living cultures. You know, other cultures like Mesopotamia, Sumatra, and all Egyptian culture, they're not living. You know, they're there in the books, but we Indians are still living what our ancestors lived 5,000 years ago. No, we are using iPhones now, but but otherwise the philosophy is still the same.
I used to live in India, and that's where I learned first about karma and reincarnation many years ago. And I know that in the past, India was part of either Mu or Lemuria. Do you know much about that ancient history?
No.
Well, you know quite a bit, but I'm just curious. Just curious. Tell me, when a patient comes into you and they say that, for example, that they have a certain problem, do you often go to the spiritual causes of their problem?
You know, I go through full history, and you know, like, it depends upon what the problem is. It could be a simple backache from lifting a furniture, or it could be much deeper, that maybe there was, if the back pain doesn't get better, maybe then we can try different other entities. But my philosophy in general as a physician, somebody told me, if you diagnose common things commonly, you're commonly correct. Not to go for somebody just comes to the back, oh, he may have a tumor. That is not a common thing. He may have it, but you diagnose common things commonly, you're commonly correct. So my professor told me in my medical school, you know, like sore throat could be from throat cancer, but most probably it is viral infection. So you, it's like a mystery to be solved. You start with small things and you go deeper and deeper. Like as a back pain, if it's not getting better, maybe that person was a slave in the previous life and he had to lift a lot of heavy baggage, and that back pain is still showing up.
Interesting, very interesting. You know, what advice would you give to young people nowadays looking for their soul purpose or for a career?
You know, like, I honestly believe leading a life of purpose is very important. But the question is, how do we know what your purpose is? You know, there are different ways, you know, like, you feel what is right and wrong, and the purpose can change also at different stages of life. Like, before my near-death experience, my purpose was to give the best anesthesia to heart patients to the best of my ability. But now, after my near-death experience, my purpose has changed to help people grow spiritually, especially with what I call diseases of the soul. You know, pain, addiction, and depression. And for a young person to find what their purpose is, actually, if they approach the issue with curiosity and try different things, then the purpose finds them. We need to give up actually the thing, oh, I need to know my purpose, I need to know my purpose. Try different things which your heart is telling you, and the purpose will find you.
Well, that's very good advice, because sometimes I get questions like that in my own work.
Yeah, I can believe that, you know, like, but, you know, like, if you told me to become a dancer, I have no inclination for a dancer. I'm not saying becoming a dancer is bad, but what you want to do from your heart, let the heart speak. Like, what do they say? Don't die with a song still unsung in your body or mind.
Oh, that's a beautiful comment. That's a really beautiful comment. I interviewed a gentleman a few months ago from the Hollow Earth, and he's always said to think with your heart mind, not with your logical mind.
Yeah, and actually, the big advertisers know that. Because for the cars or any other thing, actually what happens is you make the decision emotionally, from your heart, and then to say, oh, I'm not making emotional decision, logically you support it.
Interesting. I know last year Subaru had a series of car ads, and they kept saying love over and over again, that Subaru is love. I'm not picking on the company. I'm just saying that that was one where they appealed to the heart mind.
Exactly. So we make all decisions emotionally, but we then back it up with, that's I believe, with logic mind.
Amazing, amazing, amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, mind, soul, spirituality, it's not something to be solved. Mm-hmm. I had that spirit as coming from a science background, mm-hmm. to be solved, mm-hmm. equation to be solved. But now I feel it is a mystery to be lived, mm-hmm. with curiosity. With curiosity.
Oh, wonderful. Now, your book will be coming out here very soon.
Yes, 1 week. Almost 1 week. Yeah, next weekend, next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday. Wonderful, wonderful. So I want to go back to your book a little bit. Could you tell me a little bit more about it, please?
Yeah. The book is, as I said, called Dying to Wake Up. Mm-hmm. And this is more a metaphorical death. The Dr. Pardee, Rajiv Pardee, who went to sleep under general anesthesia, and the one who woke up were two different people. So the book talks about the consciousness, what I call about consciousness-based healing, like by making small changes and elevating your level of consciousness, you can make a big difference in your life. And it goes through all the journey. Like, I believe that a person does not need to have a near-death experience themselves. They can transform right now by reading others' experiences.
Fascinating. And do you go into those other experiences in your book?
I do.
Would you mind sharing a few of them now?
Yeah, you know, like one experience is my near-death experience. Mm-hmm. And then I once went to a Buddhist meditation retreat, and we were meditating for quite a few days, and then I had a experience of my kundalini, which is the psychic energy stored at the base of the spine, at the root chakra, move up all the way. Mm-hmm. And that is known as kundalini rising, and connect to my crown chakra, the highest chakra. Mm-hmm. And then the amazing thing was, I did see the light. But after light, I did not know before, there was another stage which was totally dark, totally black. And then I talked to the teacher, and that is the Buddhist phase of shunyata, nothingness, from where everything has come. That's the beauty. Nothingness is not zero, but everything has come from that. It's a paradoxical situation.
This nothingness that you talk about, in my own research into the higher dimensions, eventually that nothingness becomes the supreme being.
Yeah, it is. But the supreme being, me, you, and the universe, comes from nothingness. It's kind of a scientific quantum theory of Big Bang. What I understand of Big Bang is everything came from nothing. For some reason, a Big Bang happened, and that's how the universe came into being. Mm-hmm. But what was there before the Big Bang was nothingness.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. That's just fascinating.
Yeah. It is very fascinating. Yeah.
A lot of times when I've searched for answers, I found that meditation and being quiet and listening to the inner voice and my heart mind within me can always give those answers. Have you discovered the same thing?
Exactly. You know, what my experience is, I do not necessarily get the answers, but the questions disappear. You know, the questions disappear. So in a way, I am getting the answer, but the questions disappear. Like, one of the questions I have struggled in my life and is, if God is all love, pure and kind, why is there suffering in the world? You know, why do these suicide bombers happen and kill innocent people? And a lot of skeptics ask this question quite often, you know. And that's the question, but now with deep meditation and prayer, that question has kind of disappeared, and I have come to the conclusion, yeah, God is loving, kind, and forgiving. There's no judgment. But still, like from the Buddhist point of view, there is law of dharma, the wheel of dharma. You know, we have to be responsible for our actions. So, I have come to believe life is a paradox, and how happy you are going to be in life is going to be how comfortable are you with the paradoxes in life. Like, my wife loves me a lot, but at times she hates me too.
Interesting. I know what you mean.
Yeah. So that's a paradox. If you're comfortable with that, you'll have a much happier life. So how comfortable you're with paradoxes in your life is how happy you will be.
If I may, I'd love to talk a little bit about karma today.
Sure.
Karma, if my understanding is correct, is a balancing of the energies. And so that if you do something good, it comes back to you. If you do something bad or hurt someone, that comes back to you too. But it balances, the universe has a way of balancing it out. So that if someone in a previous life harmed a bunch of people, then that person often will be harmed in this lifetime to balance out the energy from the negative experience that they had in a previous life.
That's what I believe too. You know, like, but at a very deeper level, you know, if you go for real deep level of consciousness, where the Hindus and Buddhists talk about the supreme consciousness as Brahman, from that highest level of consciousness, actually there's nothing positive or negative, or, you know, this world is illusion, it's Maya. So our deepest level desire is to break through the veil of Maya. You know, this I have come to believe more and more that this world is a kind of a leela. Leela stands for Sanskrit word for play. It's a divine play, and we all doing our roles in it.
You remember the famous quote from Shakespeare? He said that all the world's a stage, and we are but actors upon it.
Exactly. That's what I'm, you know, saying. Leela is it's a God's play. We are just playing roles in it.
This is one of the fascinating concepts I was introduced to when I used to live in India many years ago. And I'll never forget the time I was in a bus in northern India, and I was telling about this the driver about my problems with my ears. I have tinnitus in my right ear from a car accident. And he said, "Oh, you must have done something in a previous life to end up with that condition." And it was the first time I'd ever thought about that.
In that way, Indians don't have that many psychiatric problems because they always have their past life to blame to.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Actually, true. You know, anything goes wrong, it must be my karma. You know, I must have screwed up in past life. That's why people don't go in India to, you know, psychiatrists that often.
Interesting. So they just blame it on karma.
Yeah. That's in it. You know, everything has to be taken with a pinch of salt. You know.
Right.
You know, like, you can take it very passively, also sit down and say, if it's my karma, I will win the lottery, I'll get a job.
Right.
But you have to go out, you have to make an effort to get the jobs, go for the interviews. You have to do those things, not just sit home and say, if it is my karma, I'll pass the exam.
Right, exactly, because we're co-creators with the Supreme Being to create the kind of reality that we want.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We're co-creators. Mm-hmm. That's the attitude I take. My attitude is, actually, our Hindu's biggest book, Bhagavad Gita, talks about doing our duty and leaving the results to the God or to the divine or universe. And if you take it even in modern psychological terms, if you have done your best, There's nothing else you can do. And if you're attached to the results, if they don't happen the way you want it, mm-hmm. you will be very unsatisfied, nervous wreck. And so the main thing is to let the things happen naturally.
Now, Buddhism teaches people to have a certain amount of detachment in the results of an outcome. Is that correct?
I'm not expert on Buddhism.
Okay.
But I know a little bit. I know a few things of Buddhism I like. You know, I like the Four Noble Truths. Mm-hmm. Because one of the biggest thing of the First Noble Truth is that there is suffering in life. There is dukkha. But the cause of dukkha is attachment, craving, and clinging. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that brings suffering. Mm-hmm. To get rid of suffering is to give up this attachment, clinging, and craving, and follow the fourth one is, I think, the eighth path, noble truth, the right language, right speech, language, livelihood, all those things. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And one of the best concepts I like, I talk about seva or service all the time, is the concept of bodhisattva, mm-hmm. where even you give up your own salvation, your own enlightenment till the others are enlightened. Mm-hmm. So, you know, every religion, every philosophy has something very good which can be taken and helped, you know, irrespective of what your religion at birth was.
You know, this is an election year, as you know, in the United States. And I don't want to get too much into politics, but one thing that the message that I have gotten from Nostradamus is that in the future, in the United States and elsewhere, our leaders, political leaders, will actually be chosen on their spiritual qualities rather than on how many votes they can get.
Oh, that will be beautiful. That will be great. Mm-hmm. That's the way it should be. You know, that's what I'm talking about, evolution of consciousness. Mm-hmm. Like people will be chosen, you know, with a spiritual quality. Is the person who's highly evolved spiritually will be chosen more likely than person from a lower quality.
Well, especially when a country like the United States has all these nuclear weapons and all these other weapons, I think the people here would want someone who's spiritually highly evolved so that they know how best to help the people and the planet evolve in a beautiful spiritual way rather than in the old school way of fighting and conflict.
I fully agree. As I said, you know, one of the biggest thing is, as we grow spiritually as a society, it's not me versus you, it is we. Mm-hmm. It becomes we, mm-hmm. for both of us, mm-hmm. which works good.
I think as you go up the different dimensions from third to fourth to fifth to sixth to seventh all the way up to 12th, where the Supreme Being is, it's a steady evolution of oneness, where people become one with each other and with society as a whole and planet and God.
Yeah, I fully agree with you. And, you know, like when I was in the presence of the light being, I felt one with the light being, but separate from the light being, I felt like we all are waves in the ocean, the mm-hmm. same ocean. Mm-hmm. The ocean is in the wave and wave is in the ocean. Mm-hmm. The whole ocean is contained in a drop.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, Dr. Pardee, you know, it's been so enjoyable to talk to you today. I want to really appreciate you coming on my show and sharing your wisdom. If people want to find out more about your work, could you please give out your website or contact information?
Yeah, sure. You know, as I told you, my book website is dyingtowakeup.com, and my personal website is drpardee.com, and it is exactly like party, but it sounds like party, but instead of Y, it is I for India. So it is drpardee.com.
Wonderful, wonderful. And do you give spiritual counseling to people as well?
Yeah, I do. I help them, you know, to be on this path, and it depends on what the client needs. You know, there's not a cookie-cutter approach.
Sure. Well, you know, I've so enjoyed talking to you today. I've seen you, I've heard you at your lectures here at this conference in Montreal, and you've given so much profound wisdom that I'm so happy you could come on my show today.
It was my honor, and any time you want that, I'll be more than happy.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. We have about 2 minutes left, by the way, and with that, I'd like to give you the floor to say anything you like to wrap up your wonderful interview today.
Yeah, you know, as I said, one thing is you need to love your purpose, but how do you find your purpose? Is approach the mystery of the world or the universe with curiosity and let the purpose find you. That's one thing. Second thing I would say is, how do you prepare for your death? My answer is to live this life fully in service of others. And the modern psychology, or the positive psychology, or the science of happiness says, if you live a life connected to something higher than yourself, you feel really happy, joyous, and fulfilled. And this higher than yourself doesn't have to be God sitting on a throne up in the sky. It could be something higher, like preventing abuse to Mother Earth. Or it could be against, like for me, it is preventing abuse to children for child pornography. Something higher than yourself is what brings real joy and fulfillment.
I couldn't agree with you more. You know, money for a lot of people isn't enough nowadays. I know in my own work, this is a nonprofit program, and its purpose is to raise consciousness. And if I can do that, that makes me feel really good at the end of the day.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what I'm. You're a living example of that. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Pardee. Well, thank you again so much for coming on today, and I hope you have a wonderful trip back home.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Hello, friends. That was a wonderful interview I had with Dr. Rajiv Pardee yesterday in Montreal on my way to the airport. I really like his work, and his book is called Dying to Wake Up. It's going to be released on Amazon on August 23rd, and I urge everyone out there to please look at his book or get a copy. I think you'll find it really interesting. One of the things that he mentioned was seven lives karma, and I know that when I was at my Galactic Wisdom Conference in June, I had a very famous Hado instructor and healer named Dr. Yoshi from Tokyo. And Dr. Yoshi and Michiko Hayashi was his assistant. And Michiko told me that for many people's physical and spiritual problems, it goes back seven generations. I mean, I can go back in my own family line to my great-great-grandmother on my mother's maternal side, and my paternal side, and then on my mom's side, I can go back maybe three or four generations. But it's hard to go back that many generations. But so what happens? The bottom line is that the things you do in this lifetime can affect seven generations of people. That's amazing. And if each person lives, let's say, 70 years. 7 times 7 equals 490 years. So that's an amazing amount of time. I want to tell you all, this is a little known history of the Bible, but today's current Bible was put together by Emperor Constantine in 325 AD at what's called the Council of Nicaea. Now, Emperor Constantine had his wife actually was a prostitute, and Jesus had talked about reincarnation, karma, and dharma, actually, while he was on the planet. And there were several different disciples who'd written about that. But Emperor Constantine, at the urging of his wife, decided to take out all references to karma and dharma and reincarnation in the Bible. And so we don't know anything about that in today's Bible, but actually it's just part of what Jesus had said. But it's very interesting. If you look at the Council of Nicaea, it was a church gathering organized by this Emperor Constantine, and very, very interesting kind of history. I've actually read some of those texts, and they read just like the Bhagavad Gita of the Hindus, and they talk about karma and reincarnation. It's the same; they're saying the same thing. Also, too, when I flew into Dominican Republic last night, I saw one of the Galactic Alliance spacecraft. There are three here, I've been told, assigned to the conference to protect us, not only here at the conference, but also on our way home. And I just want to thank the Galactics for their wonderful support, Ambassador Twilling and my dear friend Scott Lemriel, who introduced me to Pastor Trillian, for telling me to forgive me the protection so we can all do our light work here. It's been a quick last 2 hours. It's very warm out here now. It must be close, somewhere about 90, 95. And there's a beach just outside of the hotel here, and I'm planning on going swimming here very, very soon. So please enjoy that cooler weather in Seattle. It's very hot here. And with that, I'd like to end my program with sending you all lots of love and light, so your day will be happy and bright. I know it's been a quick hour, and I'm so thankful to Skype for letting us get through this just fine. Next week, I'll be playing a recorded interview that I did with Dr. F.B. Chow. She had helped cure just about a lot of my tinnitus yesterday at a healing session that we had in Montreal on my way out to the airport. She's an amazing Chinese healer. She uses what's called Qigong. And if you are in the San Francisco Bay Area or would like to travel down there, I mean, it's not that far from Seattle, what, about an hour and a half flight, 10, 12-hour drive. She's having an amazing conference on September 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th, and she's bringing in some of the best Qigong healers in the world to this conference there. If you Google her name, Dr. Effie Chow, C-H-O-W, at the East West Center on Topaz Street, San Francisco, you'll be able to find it. But it's going to be an incredible event. I don't know if I can go. I'm going to try to go. But I'm sure it's going to be an amazing time, and I hope you can all come. Also, at James Gillian's UFO Ranch, Rich Vincent Struck will be coming there on the weekend of September 1st. And he'll be talking about alternative legal theories. James Gillian's Ranch is a very nice place. Whenever I go there, my vibrations are always lifted, because you're not really in the third dimension when you're there. They're much closer to the fourth and fifth. And with that, I hope you have all a wonderful, beautiful weekend. I'd like to play Louis Armstrong, What a Wonderful World Now, to finish off our program, and I hope you have a wonderful, happy weekend. Thanks so much for listening.